Man, God bless you, Tim.
Yes, sir.
Love you.
I believe I'll read some of that right now.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be here tonight and appreciate you being in the Lord's house. And it's been a minute since we've been out here. We've had a lot of personal things going on and just hadn't been able to be here and everything. And we had cancer there and got through that. And still remember the day I went to see the doctor to get that final PET scan result in. And he told me, he said, you're all free and clear. That's how he worded it. And I went to the store after that and bought a jug of all free and clear detergent. And I took it to my church and had everybody in the church sign that jug of all and free and clear. And I got it right there in my study. Praise God. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord's goodness to us, and we're not worthy of any of it. We're thankful to be here tonight. If you have your Bible, we'll be in the Old Testament, the book of Joel, in chapter number 2. Joel chapter number 2. And I want to read a very short passage here and have a word of prayer with you. And then I'm going to try to do my best to bring what the Lord's put on our heart for this service this afternoon. But Joel in chapter number 2, and I'd like to begin reading in verse number 21. Joel is a couple of books past Daniel. Most people can find Daniel pretty readily. So you got Daniel, Hosea, and Joel. And so we'll be in the book of Joel. But chapter number 2, begin reading in verse number 21. And it says here, he said, "Fear not, O land, and be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore unto you the years the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I, the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed." We'll stop reading right there, but let us pray. Our Father, we come to you, Lord, this afternoon, Lord, asking for your help in this service today. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless in a special and unusual way. And Lord, when we've had this service, we've gone back to our place. We can know that we've met with God. And Lord, I pray that you'd help not just me, but these other men of God that'll be preaching. I pray, Father, that you'd use them and help them, Lord. But Lord, we're here right now and we're needing your help, Lord, as we preach right now. And I pray that you give us the clarity of thought, give us liberty to preach. And I pray you'll try to help make things easy for us as we try to be your servant at this place and this time. And Lord, we want to love you. We thank you and we do love you. And we ask you to help us, Lord, as we try to preach once again. And Lord, we give you all the glory for all that'll be done. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I want to look at verse number 25. And God said through the prophet here, he said, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. I want to preach to you this afternoon on the subject of locusts. And I want to use the phrase that God has used here, where God said, "I'll restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten." Now, Joel is talking about the Lord, his pledging to restore the land after they've been through an extended period of drought and famine. The people here are in a time when they've experienced some great poverty and some depression. We're talking about an ecological decline and an economical decay. And God, through the prophet here, is pledging and promising to the people. And he said, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Now, when you consider a locust all to itself and all on its own and all by its lonesome, you know, they seem to me to be so small and insignificant, so tiny and incapable, and so little and inadequate to cause such damage and destruction, hurt and harm, wreckage and ruin. But they can, they have, and they will, as the history of mankind comes to a close, they will have eaten millions of acres and cost billions of dollars. Now, I'm no anthropologist tonight. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce that. Somebody studies bugs. I'm not that person. Amen. I'm not a biophysicist. I don't know how they affect everything around them. And I'm not a what you call an agronomist, you know, studies agroscience and all of that. But I do know some things about locusts based on what the Bible tells us. Amen. Four things I want to give you about locusts before we get into our message. First thing is, they have no respect to persons. Amen. Not only is the Bible, but also human history is littered with periods of drought and desolation that's been fueled by and caused by and brought by swarms of locusts. Almost every country and continent has had its issues with them at some point. Locusts don't care who you are, where you're from. They don't care what color your skin is, what color your hair is, what color your eyes are, and they don't care what kind of flag you're waving around. Amen? They will descend and they will devour and they will destroy. I tell you, both rural and urban communities, agricultural and industrial areas, and public and private property makes no difference to a locust. Amen? Something else we know about them by reading the Bible is they have no sense of direction. They follow no rules or regulations. They have no government or guidelines. They don't have any policies or principles, and they don't have any laws and any leaders. Those locusts, they simply go where their wings take them and where God's wind blows them. Amen? Proverbs 30 and 27, the Bible says, the locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. In other words, their wings just take them. Amen? Exodus 10 and 13, we know about the plague of locusts that Moses sent. The Lord sent through Moses, and the Bible says there that Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night, and when it was morning, the east wind brought the locust. No sense of direction. Amen? Number three, locusts have no bounds of habitation. You know, unlike other pests, you can't simply build a fence and set a trap for a locust. Amen? Now you can for raccoons and baboons. Amen? You can for weasels and weevils. You can for deer and bear. Matter of fact, you can scare off and slow down coyotes, them fur bears, and Toyotes, them trespassers with a deer rifle and a shotgun. But you ain't going to slow down. You ain't going to slow down no locust. Amen? Them locusts have been known to scale mountains and cross oceans. They form these things called flotillas. Amen? Which is masses of them just laying on the ocean surface of the water, and other locusts is laying on top of them, and they float across the ocean. I tell you, some of them flotillas is the size of a state, got big enough to have its own area code. Amen? No bounds of limitation. But then fourthly, no bowels of mercy. Locusts in the Bible is described as violent. Horses prepared into battle. These locusts, they're not going to slow down, back off, or go away. They're not going to take it easy. They're not going to give it time. They're not going to calm it down. They just keep coming, keep eating, keep devouring, and keep consuming. Every leaf and every limb, every shrub and every bush, every fruit and every flower, every tree and every twig, till it's all gone. The man Joel 1 and 7, the early chapter there, says about those locusts, "He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away, and the branches thereof are made white." Nothing left. Now, there are things. You think about those four things I said. No respect of persons, no bounds of limitation, no bowels of mercy. Amen. Those things. There are things today in our life, in our marriage, in our ministry, in our parenting, in our pastoring, in our churches, in our community, in our country and nation, they're like these locusts. No respect of persons, no sense of direction, no bounds of limitation, and no bowels of mercy. And if they're not guarded against and watched for, looked after and prayed over, they're going to eat, consume, and devour years of your life. Amen? I'm going to give you three of them today. Number one, bad addictions. You may say, "Preacher, I thought all addictions were bad." Not all of them are. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:15, that house of Stephanas, you know. He said, "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that's the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." I thought of that. You talking about that couple or that family traveling 12 hours, and boy, they must be addicted. Amen. They must be pretty hooked on it if they're wanting to get down here that bad. Amen. Well, I tell you, that's a good addiction. I mean, can't get enough of the house of God or the people of God or the man of God or the word of God. I tell you, that's a good addiction. But you know, most addictions as we know them are bad. They come from bad people doing bad things for bad reasons. They're no good. They help no one. They accomplish nothing. Amen. As a matter of fact, these locusts in Joel, as they are introduced to us, are followed immediately by one of the most toxic, basic, and public addictions of all time, alcohol addiction. Go to the book of Joel chapter 1, where these locusts are introduced to us. No sooner than they've got on the front porch in the front yard, we see a bunch of drunkards. Joel 1, verse 1, it said, "The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it, and tell your children to tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards." Right there it is. "And weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off your mouth." And I know we're living in a dark day and a terrible time, and people's got this attitude, well, there's bigger fish to fry and higher mountains to climb than alcoholism. Well, I tell you what, it's still a pretty big problem. God said here, you're to tell your children of it, so they'll tell their children of it. Amen. The locusts that our children need to be told about and warned of and cautious around. Listen, they don't come with six legs. They come in six packs, bless God. Amen. And they don't just produce a buzz beneath the skies. They produce a buzz between the eyes. And these locusts I'm talking about this evening, I'm telling you, I tell you, they don't, they're not coming for all the leaves and limbs. They're coming for all the Steves and Tims, amen. We need to watch out for them. Amen. Young people, they need to hear and need to know and need to learn about these locusts of addiction. You need to warn them how they'll swoop and swarm and how they'll descend and devour and how they're going to converge and consume years off their life. They have eaten and they've consumed and devoured years of people's lives. Listen, addictions, no matter what shape or size they are, no matter what color or flavor they are, no matter what age or stage we're talking about, I tell you, whether it's drug or alcoholism, whether it's pornography or profanity, whether it's sorcery or sodomy, whether it's gambling or gossiping, all these habits are addictive and habit-forming, and I tell you, they're going to ruin your life. You may say, preacher, I don't have a problem. And I don't have a weakness. And I sure don't think I've got no addiction. You might say, well, I know what the limit is. And I know where the line is. I'm not going to push the limit and I'm not going to cross the line. Them locusts are not going to touch me. They're not going to affect me. They're not going to devour and eat and consume anything in my life. Well, friend, they may already have. Amen. For that locust of alcohol might already turn your liver to a pickle. Amen. The locust of meth have already turned your teeth into corroded over battery post. Amen. The locust of tobacco use have already turned your lungs into bacon, your teeth into coffee, and your throat into toast. You're a walking Cracker Barrel. Amen. The locusts of pornography have already turned your innocence into guilt, your purity into filth, and your worth into zilch. Pornography. The locusts of gambling have already turned your pay stub into pay stubble. You ain't got nothing. Stripped you of every dime and dollar, every choice and chance, every inch and ounce that you had financially. Boom! God help us. Locust. Sin, no matter what brand it is like a locust. And it'll consume you. You know, the Lord Jesus said, John 8 and 34, He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever, we love all His other whosoevers, He said, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Paul said in Romans 6 and 16, he says, know ye not that whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, you servants you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. When you fall into addiction, you become a servant and a slave to that sin, to that product, to that influence. You're a slave to it. It's going to answer all your questions for you. It's going to tell you how you use your time and your money, how you treat your family and your body. It'll tell you if, when you go to work, go to bed, go to school, or go to church. But aren't you glad? Just like God can restore a barren wasteland and a dry desert land, God can restore a desperate person, a poor sinner, and a lost soul. He can restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Amen. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. New habits, new desires, new ambitions, and new addictions, bless God. Friend, it's high time for you to flip the switch, turn the knob, and pull the cord on them locusts and get you a living relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Bad addictions. Number two, a locust. Bad relationships. What about that? You know, one of the most powerful, intoxicating, and habit-forming addictions of all At least in my experience, working with people is relationships. Some people, and I'm kin to some, and I feel like I've ministered to some that are in a relationship that it's toxic, poisonous, harmful, deadly, destructive. And apparently, some of them are addicted to these kind of relationships. They can't break it off. They can't put it down, and they can't make it quit. They keep going back, getting more, and giving in, going right back to that trash they just got away from. Friend, I'm here to tell you, bad relationships are like these locusts. They will eat years of your life. Amen? The Bible is full of exhortations to be careful about these relationships. The man Moses in his day, he said, listen, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Amen? Makes no difference where the crowd goes, what the crowd is, what the crowd does. He said, don't go with them. Proverbs 13 and 20 said, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. It's like him locust. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, Paul said, be not deceived. Evil communications and corrupt good manners. You know, the Bible is full of examples of good people getting mixed up and messed up by getting involved with and interested in a bad relationship. Three of them right off the top of my head. Amen. The man Samson, the King Solomon, and the prodigal son. All three of those individuals got involved with relationships that were sour, bad. And then them relationships like locusts, they ate up and broke down and tore away years of their life. Right. Amen. Think about those three individuals, the man Samson. Judges 16 and 4, the Bible says of him, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Delilah was a locust. And she landed on old Samson. And before it's over, she's going to eat him up, tear him apart, and leave him dead. She was the first of a swarm of locusts that swooped in there, cut off his hair, put out his eyes, and chained up his body. Amen. Listen, I'm not trying to be too personal, but listen. That hand you're holding and them lips you're kissing and that woman you're chasing, she might be a locust. Out to hunt you and hurt you. Be careful. The King Solomon, 1 Kings 11, 1 and 3. He said, but King Solomon loved many strange women. And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. These strange women, like locusts, descended upon Solomon in great number, hundreds. Amen, hundreds. They smothered his perception, covered his affection, and clouded his judgment. They ate up his standards. They broke down his convictions and tore apart his morals, turned his heart from God. Amen. The prodigal son, Luke 15, verse 13, says of him, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. The older son says about it, gives a description of what that living looked like, such to which devoured thy living with harlots. Right. You know that father gave that boy what took him years to accumulate, a lifetime. And that boy went to that far country and shacked up with all them women, and what his father worked for and labored for and toiled for years, it was gone in a matter of days. Those women ate up his finances, chewed up his money, and spent up his living. Proverbs 6:26, the Bible says, "For the by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." Them locusts, when they come down on a plant, they're going for the precious part of it. They're not going to chew up and spit out that which has already dried up and died off. They're not going to land on that plant, part of that plant that's already turned brown and fell down. Oh, no, they're going for that which is good and green, which is soft and supple, which is fresh and flesh. They're going after the good of it. And I tell you, these strange women, I tell you, they're going to shack up with you and they're going to take the precious life. They're going for the best of your life, the best of your testimony, the best of your finances, the best of your marriage. They're going to wreck and ruin everything about you. God help us. Amen. God help us. Amen. But aren't you glad that just as God pledges and promises in the book of Joel to restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, He can restore the years that have been busted and wasted from a bad relationship. A relationship that has drained you emotionally, that has drained you financially, that has drained you psychologically, and that has drained you spiritually, by giving you a loving and living relationship with Him through Jesus Christ our Savior. Isn't that wonderful? God will restore. You know, 2 Corinthians 6, God says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Here's the thing about them bad relationships. God says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." You can get up, you can turn around, and you can walk away. Amen. Don't let them locusts land on you and stay on you and chew on you. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You don't have to keep going back, and you don't have to keep coming over. You don't have to keep stopping by, and you don't have to keep coming around. You can get up, get out, and get away. The man Joseph, Genesis 39, he fled and got him out. Amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:18, "Flee fornication." Amen. "Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Flee fornication. Get up, get out, get away. Paul writing to young preacher Timothy, he said, 2 Timothy 2:22, he said, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Bad addictions, bad relationships. Let me give you the last one and I'm done. Bad decisions. That's a locust, isn't it? Now, you might be here this afternoon and say, "Well, preacher, I don't have any bad addictions. And I have never been in a bad relationship." But I grant you, you probably made a bad decision. Reckon? Amen. You know, as a human being, it's a cruel fact. We're victims or beneficiaries of our choices. What we decide to do is going to help us or hurt us. Victims are a beneficiary of the choice you make and the direction you take. You better believe it. Amen. Oftentimes, like locusts, our choices have eaten and consumed and devoured years off of our lives. Amen. It's our choices that put gray in our hair. It's our choices that put yellow on our teeth. It's our choices that put wrinkle in our face. I know we get old without all that, but some of our choices sort of usher that stuff along. A lot of stress and strain, headache and heartache, trouble and trial. I'm just simply saying it's self-inflicted, me-centric, and I decided. Ain't I right? Amen. The man Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Life outside of our ignorant choices is hard enough. But then we want to go and make poor choices and bad decisions. We're just going to make that life of ours shorter and harder than what it really is. The writer of Proverbs said, Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Life's hard enough without adding sin to it and addictions to it, some bad decisions to it. Adding all that to an already hard life, so I add an insult to injury, fuel to fire. Hey, surgery hurts. Anybody ever had surgery? Have it without anesthetics. Hurts even worse. And that's what life of bad choices is surgery without anesthetics. You're going to hurt yourself even worse. God help us. Amen. Lord help us. You know, there's people out there that don't realize because of their choices that they're wrecking their own lives, they're destroying their own body, they're hurting their own family, and ultimately they're going to destroy their own soul. Proverbs 4:19, one of the saddest verses in the Bible. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Amen. God help us. We're just trying to preach here. Amen. You know, the trouble with decisions is they don't take much time to make, but the consequences and effects they have could last for years. Amen. You know, like many human beings, and I'm one of them, we make these split-second decisions, knee-jerk reactions, last-minute preparations, and we make a decision without thinking about it, without praying about it. We shift on the fly, eat on the run, live in the moment, and shoot from the hip. God help us. I think the finest example of somebody that made a bad choice is, man, old Lot, man, he messed up. Genesis 13, you see the progression of his decision. It says, Lot lift up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. He lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain. He went with what looked good, what felt good, instead of what was good. That's what most of us do. Lot put his money ahead of his morals. He put his finances ahead of his faith. He put his happiness ahead of his holiness. And he put his humanity ahead of his eternity. What a bad choice. We all know the story of Lot. His wife got turned into that cow liquor, that pillar of salt, amen. And his daughters turned into a bunch of deviant perverts by being around all them wicked men of Sodom, going to Sodom High and rolling here and doing that and learning all these things from all these wicked people. His testimony got turned into ruin, and his life ended up like Sodom and Gomorrah, just a bunch of smoke and ash. Amen. He was in a drunken stupor in a messed up cave, all naked, committing incest with his two daughters. Friend, that's a messed up, deranged individual. You say, how did he get there? His decisions got him there. Those locusts, they covered him up and they broke him down and they tore him apart. Right. You got people today makes these choices on a whim. I'm going to leave that good community and that good solid church. I'm going to chase the rainbow. And I'm going to make me a fortune. And I'm going to get me an education. They don't think about the man of God they're leaving and the house of God they've left from. They don't know where they're going to go to church, and they don't know if they're ever going to one or not. You need to be careful with your decisions. They can ruin your life. You know, I tell people about their decisions, they's like, well, it's my decision, my choice. People's got the attitude, well, I can redo and undo and backpedal. If something goes wrong, I can fix it. Well, crazy. Amen? There's a lot of young people here tonight, you know, small kids. I'm not trying to be mean to you. But if you don't, if you're not careful with your decisions, young men out here, young boys, amen. If your decisions, that young boy of yours could get turned into a buzz bait. Come in your house someday, he's got a ring in his nose, a hook in his belly, a skirt on his waist, and glitter all over his face. That's a messed up. It's happening. And I'm not trying to be rude and crude and anything, but them young girls of yours, if you're not careful with them decisions, I mean, them locusts is going to swoop down and devour and turn her into a greasy bucket of KFC, breasts, legs, and thighs that everybody and their brothers had their hands all over. Because your decisions. God help us. Amen. Them locusts is going to turn, take them decisions and turn your marriage into a soap opera, your family into a talk show, and your house into a crime scene. Amen. Them locusts is going to turn your ministry into a circus, your pulpit into a vacancy, and your Bible into a paperweight. If you're not careful. But aren't you glad? Like the Lord pledges and promises in the book of Joel to restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. He can restore to you the years that your decisions have eaten up in your life.
Amen.
You can get things right tonight.
Amen.
Amen. You know, 2 Corinthians 5, Paul said this in verse 14, 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge. That if one died for all, then we're all dead. And if they which live to not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. In other words, you can get a new start.
Amen.
God can restore. Amen. The man Peter said in 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2, for as much then as Christ has suffered in the flesh for us in the flesh, arm yourselves in like manner in the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time. Now, I don't know how much time that is. But he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Amen. Philippians 3, 13, 14, Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Those old bad decisions. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're just talking about locusts. They eat, devour, and consume years of people's lives. Addictions, relationships, and decisions. Oh, they seem so small on their own, just like a locust. Not anything significant and adequate there. Nothing to be concerned about. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They can be very destructive if you're not careful. Amen. God bless you. That's the message. God said, I'll restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Amen.